Have you ever felt like you're just kind of skimming the surface of really big ideas?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, today we're taking a deep dive into a concept that's had a huge impact on theological thought for centuries, really. The idea of union with Christ.
I think it's so interesting how this concept, it can seem really complex at first.
Oh, yeah.
But it actually gives you a surprisingly intimate way to understand your relationship with God.
Absolutely. And for this deep dive, we've been looking closely at excerpts from Dr. Robert A. Peterson's teaching series called The Holy Spirit in Union with Christ, specifically Session 11, where he focuses on John 17.
Oh, John 17, yeah. If you've spent any time in John's Gospel, you'll know this chapter. It's often called Jesus' high priestly prayer.
Right.
And Peterson does a great job showing how this prayer really lays the foundation for understanding this whole idea of union with Christ.
It's a really important chapter. So for everyone listening, our mission today is to unpack this concept as it's presented in John's Gospel. We really want to get a solid grasp on this foundational element of Christian theology, this mutual indwelling of the Father, Son, and believers, without getting bogged down in, you know, all the theological jargon.
Yeah, think of it like this. You're going to get this core insight that really echoes throughout so much of Christian belief.
Yeah. Now, Peterson points out that Jesus' prayer in John 17 has three main sections.
Okay.
First, he prays for himself, then for his disciples, and then finally for all those who will believe because of their message.
Right.
And the real meat of what we're talking about today, like the core insight we need to grab a hold of, is in that last section where Jesus prays for this, like radical unity among all believers, specifically in verses 20 through 23.
Okay, so let's dive into this idea of mutual indwelling. What exactly is it?
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
Well, the central theme Peterson pulls out is this profound idea of mutual indwelling. It's not just about us having faith in Jesus, right? It's about something much deeper, a connection where we're actually in each other in a very real sense.
Okay, so it's more than just like a mental agreement or something like that.
Oh, way more. Think about it. Peterson even quotes John 17.21, where Jesus prays that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. That last part, that they may also be in us, it's really powerful.
Yeah, that definitely jumps out at you, that they may also be in us.
Exactly. And Peterson makes this point that John's gospel is unique in the way it talks about believers being in the Father and the Son.
Hmm.
Because on a lot of other places in the New Testament, you usually hear believers being described as in the Son.
Okay.
But John takes it a step further. And actually, he brings in John 14.23, where Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him."
Hmm. I don't think I've ever noticed that connection before.
Yeah. It's right there. This idea of the Father and Son making their home inside believers, it's central to how John understands this whole thing.
So if believers are in the Father and the Son, does Peterson talk about whether this means we're in the Holy Trinity?
He does, and it's a great question. While John doesn't go into like a systematic doctrine of the Trinity in this prayer, Peterson suggests that's kind of a logical conclusion, even an inescapable one, he says, because the Godhead is ultimately one.
Okay, so the three persons of the Trinity are distinct, but they can't be separated.
Right. We can't really separate the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even though each person has a distinct role. They're completely unified.
Hmm. Distinct but unified. Okay. Now, this is where it starts to get really fascinating, because Peterson points to a crucial difference that helps us understand all of this. The difference between God as creator and us as creatures.
That's a big one. He really emphasizes that the Trinity's mutual indwelling, that's just part of their nature. That's who they are as God. But for us, our indwelling, it's different. Peterson describes it as creaturely and grace-caused. It happens because of our connection to Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit.
So it's not something we inherently have on our own.
Exactly. It's a gift. And you know what else he does that I found really helpful? He explains the difference between being immortal and eternal.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
It's a subtle but important difference. We, as believers, we're immortal in the sense that we're created, but we'll exist forever.
Okay.
But God is the only one who's eternal. He has no beginning and no end.
Right.
So when Peterson says our indwelling is creaturely, this is what he means. We had a beginning, unlike God. And the fact that we exist forever, that's a gift, not something we just have naturally.
That makes sense. So our participation in the divine life is purely because of God's grace.
Exactly. It's a gift.
Okay. So we're in the Trinity by grace.
Yeah.
But how does that actually work? How does this grace-caused connection happen? Peterson talks about divine glory, right?
He does. He connects divine glory with the unity of believers in a really insightful way. In John 17:22, Jesus says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one, even as we are one."
Mm.
So the glory that the Father gave to the Son, that same glory becomes the foundation for our unity as believers.
It's like this divine inheritance passed down to us. Mm. And then verse 23 really takes this idea even further, right?
It does. Jesus goes on to say, "I in them and you in me, Father, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." This perfect unity, it's achieved through this two-way indwelling, the Father and the Son, and the Son in believers.
Wow, that's intense.
It is. And Peterson really emphasizes this point. The standard for Christian unity is a perfect unity between the Father and the Son. That's the model.
That's a pretty high bar. Yeah. So what's the purpose of all of this? This unity, it can't just be for us,
right?
Like for our own personal benefit.
No, not at all. Peterson's really clear about this. He talks about the missional implications of this unity. In John 17:23, Jesus says that the purpose is so that the world may know that you sent me. Our unity as believers, it's a powerful testimony to the world about Jesus's mission and who he is.
It's like we become a living, breathing example of God's love and unity.
Exactly. Peterson even describes God as a missionary God, and he highlights how Jesus is the ultimate missionary. And he also points to verse 26, where Jesus talks about continuing to reveal the Father's name and love so that this love can be in the disciples and Christ can be in them. It's this constant act of God pouring himself out.
I've always been fascinated by how John presents this idea of union with Christ compared to, like, Paul, for example. Did Peterson talk about how other New Testament writers approach this idea?
He did. He makes a really important distinction. John's gospel, it doesn't really emphasize Paul's common themes like dying, being buried, and raised with Christ, or this idea of God's blessings being in Christ. John's focus is really on this mutual indwelling. And Peterson also points out how unique Jesus's teachings are in John. He's always talking in the first person. "I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. You are the branches." And then, of course, we have this high priestly prayer. It's a different perspective compared to Paul, but it's also complementary.
So it's like John lays this foundation, this focus on indwelling, and then writers like Paul come along and build on that with these other themes that are related.
That's the idea. And while John 17 doesn't specifically talk about the Holy Spirit's role in this mutual indwelling, Peterson explains that when we understand the Trinity more broadly, you know, from the rest of Scripture, we can definitely include the Spirit. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in this.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, Peterson mentions this word perichoresis. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. Perichoresis is one of those theological terms that can sound really intimidating.
It does.
But basically, it describes how deeply connected the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are. Think of it like a mutual indwelling, where each person of the Trinity is inside the others. It's a bit of a mind bender.
It is. But I think I'm starting to get it.
And Peterson uses this concept to explain the natural indwelling within the Trinity, which then extends to us through God's grace.
Okay. That helps. Now, let's get practical. What does all of this mean for us? Like, so what? How does this Johannine theology of union with Christ actually affect our lives?
Peterson lays out some really powerful and practical applications for you. First, he says, understanding these truths, it should fill you with wonder and worship.
It should. It's mind-blowing when you really think about it.
Right. He even suggests that these ideas are so far beyond anything a human could come up with that it points to the fact that the Gospel of John is truly inspired by God. It's a humbling thought to be offered this level of intimacy with God.
It really is. What's another practical application?
Well, second, he talks about spiritual sustenance, referencing Jesus's words in John 6 about being the true food and true drink.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful image.
It is. He says we need to eat and drink the Son of God. What he means is we need to constantly rely on Jesus for our spiritual life, just like we depend on food for our physical bodies.
That makes total sense. We need that constant nourishment, both physically and spiritually.
Absolutely. And third, because of this co-indwelling of the divine persons, Peterson stresses that to really know the Father, we have to focus on the Son. Jesus himself said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So our understanding of God's character, his love, and his will, it all flows through our understanding of Jesus.
That really puts Jesus at the center of everything.
Yeah.
What else does Peterson talk about?
Well, fourth, he uses that familiar analogy of the vine and the branches from John 15.
Ah, yes.
We're the branches, Christ is the vine, And abiding in him means staying connected to him, obeying his commands, and being in fellowship with him. It's about this constant, ongoing relationship, not just a one-time decision.
It's about daily dependence on Christ, drawing life from the source. What's next?
Fifth, and this is a big one for how we relate to other Christians, Peterson connects the mutual indwelling in John 17 to the call for unity among all believers.
Yeah, this feels especially relevant today, you know, with all the division we see in the church.
Definitely. Peterson doesn't mince words here. He says it's shameful when secondary doctrines or cultural prejudices get in the way of welcoming and embracing other Christians.
Whoa.
He even quotes Romans 15:7, urging us to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Now, he clarifies that this doesn't mean we have to ignore denominational differences, but it does mean prioritizing the gospel above everything else. It's about unity around the essentials.
Unity around Christ is a good way to put it. What's the last takeaway?
Okay, last but not least, Peterson reminds us that because of our union with Christ, we're part of God's mission in the world.
We're not just passive bystanders.
Right. Understanding this connection, it should motivate us to pray and to live our lives in a way that really makes a difference for the kingdom. It's all connected, isn't it? From this deep, intimate connection with God to actively participating in his work in the world.
It really comes full circle.
Yeah.
It's amazing how John's focus on mutual indwelling gives us such a powerful way to understand these practical aspects of the Christian life. It's not just about our own individual salvation. It's about being drawn into the very life and love of the Trinity and then living that out in our communities and in our mission.
So if we're summarizing this deep dive into John 17, the key takeaway is this. Believers participate in the divine life and love of the Trinity through their union with Christ. That's the heart of what John is getting at.
And it's not just some heady theological idea that's up in the clouds somewhere. Peterson helps us see how this understanding should change us. It should inspire wonder and worship in our hearts, deepen our relationship with Christ, and impact how we relate to other believers and the world around us.
It's a lot to think about, but in the best possible way.
Absolutely. So for everyone listening, we want to leave you with this question. Considering this idea of being in God and God being in you, how could that shift your perspective on your daily life, your interactions, even your decisions? How would that change things?
And one more thought to ponder. If the unity we're called to as believers reflects the unity of the Father and the Son, what are some practical things you can do to foster that kind of deep, meaningful unity in your own community? It's definitely something worth chewing on long after this deep dive is over.
It is.
Food for thought.
Definitely. All right. That's all for this deep dive.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Yeah. See you later. Bye.